Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. And I would like to say happy Valentine's Day to all of our listeners out there. I really hope that the fellas who are listening, I hope you handle business. I hope you didn't forget. I hope you weren't last minute. And I really hope that you have a great night in store for whoever your Valentine is on this Valentine's Day 2019. Happy Valentine's Day, beautiful people. We've got a great show coming your way, filled with a lot of college basketball talk. You know, I'm going to address, because, you know, on yesterday's Current Sports, for those who tuned in to the Hump Day edition, Connor Mathis, engineer of the Monday and Wednesday edition of Current Sports, we had a big debate about the Big Ten, and we really didn't get a chance to dive into the specifics of this argument, but we have different takes on the Big Ten Conference, and I believe the Big Ten is overrated. Connor doesn't believe that, but I'll explain why I believe that is so. We'll also take a look, a brief look, because we'll dive more into the X's and the O's of Sunday's matchup between Michigan State and Ohio State come tomorrow's Current Sports. But I do want to touch on it and just take a look at the schedule from here on out for the Spartans. All right, so we'll start there, and then we will shift gears into an interesting report centered on Saginaw Valley State University, which has been found in violation of the NCAA. Actually, not just violation, put an S on the end of that word. 137 violations found by the NCAA in regards to Saginaw Valley State University. 137, I kid you not. We'll go through that report. I'll comb through it, and I'll bring to the fold a conversation that really speaks to this story and so much more. There's a lot of layers to it. I'll peel back those layers later on this hour. You don't want to miss that. And then on the back end of the show, we will have Throwback Thursday for you. What exactly happened in the history of sports on Valentine's Day? You don't want to miss that, and we will do all of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the hour. If you would like to join the hour, just pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Go to the new look Facebook page live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can comment below the live stream. You can also tweet the hour. Hop on Twitter and tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. You know how we start each and every hour of Current Sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. right, and we start with the Michigan State women's basketball team, which plays tonight here on this Valentine's Day. The Spartan women's basketball team travels to the Kohl Center, where the Michigan State men were just at a few days ago, tonight, where they will take on Wisconsin. Wisconsin sits at 11-13 overall, 2-10 in the Big Ten. So the Spartans certainly favored in this game, as MSU sits at an impressive 17-6 clip on the year, ranked 24 in the AP poll. This will be both teams' first and only matchup of the regular season. Now, the Spartans are coming off a much-needed win over Indiana this past Monday, 77-61. It was quite the night for redshirt junior guard Shay Colley, who led the team with a career-high 32 points to go along with 5 steals and 6 rebounds. Wisconsin is currently riding a 3-game losing streak, with its most recent loss coming at the hands of Illinois. Tip time tonight, 8 p.m. All right, Michigan basketball. The men's basketball team is throwing it back. The Wolverines will wear throwback uniforms honoring the 1989 championship team when they take on MSU on February 24th. Michigan announced last week that it was celebrating the 30th anniversary of the 1989 title team with a maze out. Last night, Michigan basketball's Twitter account unveiled an updated rendition of the uniforms that bring a more modern feel to the nostalgic look. They look more maize as opposed to back in 89 when they look more just plain yellow. So that's the big difference that I noted, at least. But Michigan will wear those jerseys again on February 24th when they take on Michigan State. All right, and speaking of Michigan, former Michigan football head coach Brady Hoke will return to the sidelines as he heads to San Diego State to coach the team's defensive line. Now, Hoke was San Diego State's head coach for 2 seasons in 2009 and 2010, where he led the team to its first bowl appearance in 12 years and its first postseason victory since 1969, while receiving Mountain West Conference Coach of the Year honors. Now, these accomplishments lead him to becoming the head coach of Michigan from 2011 to 2014. Hoke now returns to play under Rocky Long, who has been the team's head coach since 2011. All right, and Michigan State baseball had 3 players on the Big Ten Conference preseason honors list. MSU preseason honorees include senior infielder Marty Bacina, junior pitcher Indigo Diaz, and redshirt sophomore pitcher Mason Erla. Now, Bacina, a native of Chicago, played in 49 games last year, making 47 starts while recovering from a broken leg in the fall. He led the Spartans with 9 doubles and shared the team lead with 6 homers on the way to hitting .247 with 25 hits. Now, Diaz is a native of Vancouver, Canada. He's in his first year as a Spartan, coming to MSU from Iowa Western Community College. He earned honorable mention NJCAA All-American honors as a sophomore after logging an 11-1 record in 12 starts. And Erla from Cass City, Michigan, was named to the Big Ten freshman team last year. He ranked 2nd in the Big Ten in opposing batting average at 216. And I think it speaks volumes when it comes to Diaz, who was in his first year as a Spartan, being named as a preseason honoree before the year even begins in his first season. Pretty impressive stuff. All right, the Detroit Pistons traveled to Boston last night, where the Celtics made a huge third quarter run to end the Pistons' 4-game win streak. 118-110, your final score from last night. 2019 NBA All-Star Blake Griffin, of course, led the team, as he always does, with 32 points. Andre Drummond, he finished with 21 points, 17 rebounds. However, it was not enough, as the shorthanded Celtics, yeah, they did not have point guard Kyrie Irving, and they didn't even have Terry Rozier as well. Celtics still able to get it done, as Jaylen Brown added 17 points coming off the bench, and a healthy Gordon Hayward had 18 last night. Both teams will enjoy the NBA All-Star Weekend that will begin tomorrow. Blake Griffin will be representing the Pistons in his 6th All-Star appearance and his first since 2015. Griffin is averaging a career high in points at 26 per game, along with averages of 8 rebounds and a career high in three-point percentage. Impressive stuff. So the team gets the weekend off now. Blake Griffin representing the red, white, and royal blue in Charlotte come this weekend. All right, Sixers big man out in Philly for the Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid. He nearly took out Oscar nominee Regina King in the third quarter of last night's Sixers and New York Knicks game at Madison Square Garden. He managed to barely graze the actress as he soared over her and landed on an unlucky man who actually works for ESPN in the second row. This was absolutely crazy, and I think also speaks to the just ridiculous athleticism of Joel Embiid. Embiid, at 250 pounds, he jumped over the front row of fans sitting courtside as he attempted to save a basketball going out of bounds. I don't know why he even went for this basketball, because at the time, the Sixers were actually up by like 15 points. But hey, afterwards, Joel says he doesn't know how to play the game any other way other than 100%. So he was going after the ball and leaps over King, who you may know from the movie If Beale Street Could Talk, and also she was in Jerry Maguire. I mean, she has a laundry list of projects that she's worked on. 7 Seconds, a show on Netflix in which she starred in as well. She's also the voice of a famous cartoon that used to air on Cartoon Network. I don't think it airs anymore, but called The Boondocks. Regina King is everywhere, one of my favorite actresses. She was front row, and she was inches away from taking a sneaker from Joel Embiid to the face. His right sneaker actually grazed her ponytail, and that was it. She was untouched. And then she, like, clung to to some dude that was next to her. I don't know if that was her husband. I assume it was. But as for King, Embiid noted that he saved her life. Quote, saved her life. Yeah, that was pretty interesting last night. All right, the Winged Wheel. The Detroit Red Wings finished with a must-needed win to end its three-game road trip over the Predators on Tuesday night. 3-2 the score there. The Wings will now head back home to take on the Ottawa Senators tonight, the only team below them in the Atlantic Division standings. Ottawa holds a 2-1 lead in the season series with Detroit. The Senators took the first two games before the Wings bounced back earlier this month. Backup goalie, Jonathan Bernier. Am I saying that right? I nailed it, Jack.
I'm so proud of you. We didn't even put a name pronunciation on there, and you still nailed it.
I nailed it. There we go. I'm getting better at these hockey names. Jonathan Bernier, he recorded his first shutout this season in Detroit's 2-0 win. Puck drop 7:30 p.m. tonight. Sad news here. Ron Hughes passed away on Tuesday at the age of 75. Hughes actually spent the first two decades of his NFL career helping build the Detroit Lions. That's before he moved on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hughes started with the Lions as a college scout in 1982 before ascending to personnel, where he worked from 1984 all the way up until 2001. By 1990, he was in charge of both the college and pro scouting departments in Detroit, and in doing so, he helped build the last Lions teams to win a playoff game in 1991 and a division title in 1993. He helped acquire talent such as the greats Barry Sanders, Herman Moore, Johnny Morton, Brett Perryman, and Chris Spielman. After leaving Detroit, Hughes became a draft consultant for the Steelers for two seasons. That's before becoming their college scout coordinator back in 2003. He helped build Super Bowl teams in 05 and 08, as well as 8 division champions along the way. Again, Ron Hughes passing away on Tuesday at the age of 75. And to less important matters, the 2019 Genesis Invitational tees off today. Tiger Woods, my man, is set to appear for the first time at the course in 12 years. The Genesis Open actually began sometime this morning. And Woods has played this course 8 times as a pro. This is also the course he has played the most without winning the tournament. However, there's been a lot of rain this morning as the first round started on time but quickly called everyone off the course and suspended play less than an hour into it. The way things are going, the entire day may be a complete washout. This thing may be pushed for tomorrow, maybe. Because I know Tiger was actually, he was initially scheduled to tee off around like 3 p.m. So the tour will have an update. You know, if we get any word, we'll pass that news along to you guys throughout this hour. It's likely, though, that Tiger may not even see the golf course in this opening first round here on Thursday, at least. All right. The tournament takes place at the Riviera course in southern Los Angeles, California. At the moment, there is currently an 8-way tie for first place as the first round, again, still underway. All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, call in if you want to be a part of the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go on our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch there, you can comment below that video, and you can join us on Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
See, there's a cool challenge going around where people are hashtagging greatest love and who their greatest love is. And baby, you're my greatest love for several reasons. I think, first of all, you inspire me. The way that you care for others, the way that you make the world a better place, how dedicated you are to being great, truly inspires me. I think, second of all, the mother that you are, you know, how you take care of our children, how you care for them and go wherever, whenever for them. Is the most amazing thing ever. You know, I think third of all, you make me a better man. You challenge my faith, you increase my faith. In the Bible it says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And I found a good thing in you. And I think finally, you're the sexiest woman on the planet. You're bad to the bone. And I'm glad to be your husband and take care of you and provide for you. And yes, I will fix your wig. And yes, I will do whatever you say. I love you. And you are my greatest love.
Let's be together, loving you weather, and for good and bad, happy or sad.
All right, again, happy Valentine's Day, beautiful people. It is February 14th, 2019, and the voice you just heard is the quarterback, star QB, for the Seattle Seahawks, the great Russell Wilson, just sending an oh-so-sweet message to his wife, who is R&B royalty, singing superstar Ciara. Not sure when they tied the knot, but, you know, I remember when they first started dating and they become, like, one of the most famous couples, not only just in sports, but in all of entertainment. So, Russ, with a really sweet message to Ciara there, embracing Valentine's Day and giving you the reasons why he loves Ciara so much. That's awesome stuff. Happy Valentine's Day to you and yours. And again, just want to say it one more time. Fellas, I really hope you're on your A game. I hope you're not in the doghouse. All right? This is the Super Bowl for women out there. All right? The ladies want you to show up, and you got to show up and show out if you want to keep her. All right, I'm just saying. So happy V-Day to you all out there. Got a fun show coming your way. Before I dive into our first topic, a big shout out to the man behind the glass who was actually, he notified me right before we hit the air that he's running off of like 1 hour of sleep last night. My man, Jack Kerwin, Jack, I don't know how you're operating right now. If I went off 1 hour of sleep, I mean, props to you, man. Thank you so much for coming in. All right?
Glad to be here. Glad to be here. Yeah, I've been up since about 7:30, had my exam at 8:30, and had class after that. So it's been a grind.
That's what I don't miss about college.
No doubt.
The late nights, up and studying. You know, I used to live at the library, man, before exam days. And finals were just crazy. So that's what I don't miss about college. I do miss college. It's the best years of your life, folks. But studying for exams and taking exams, I don't miss that. So, Jack, thank you so much for being with us today. All right, I want to shift gears now because this is a conversation that we began on yesterday's Current Sports. It was really like on the tail end of our conversation recapping the Michigan State men's basketball win over Wisconsin. Impressive stuff for Tom Izzo as Michigan State now looks ahead to prep for Ohio State as MSU will play host to Ohio State on Sunday afternoon. That will be a 1 p.m. tip time on CBS. But, you know, Connor and I, we began to engage in this conversation just looking at the picture of the Big Ten right now, which, if you don't know, looks like this. You know, Michigan State was basically handed, you know, I don't want to say that. That's probably the wrong word to use because Michigan State had to go out there and earn that victory on the road against Wisconsin. That was impressive stuff. It's not an easy atmosphere playing at the Kohl Center. Ethan Happ, he was a load. But Michigan State played great defense on him. They were able to at least contain him and not allow any other player to really go off. That was a big win. So I don't want to say Michigan State was basically handed a tie atop the Big Ten. But they handled business at Wisconsin, and there were a few things that worked in Michigan State's favor that night. It was a great night to be a Spartan, without a doubt, because the Michigan Wolverines just looked so frustrated. And they ended up falling to Big Ten bottom feeder Penn State. I mean, we're talking about Penn State here, folks. Penn State, a team that is 9-15 overall and 2-11 in the Big Ten Conference. And one of those two wins, yeah, came against Michigan. Crazy. I know. Crazy, Jack. Crazy stuff, man. 2-11 is what the record of Penn State is, and the Michigan Wolverines lost to them. So we didn't see that coming. John Beilein got ejected. You know, you saw his assistant coaching staff have to hold him back. Hold me back, hold me back. Saadi Washington saying, all right, John, just go to the locker room. We got this, all right? And evidently they didn't because Michigan ended up losing. So you have Michigan losing. And then also, how about Maryland beating Purdue? And it looked like, you know, Carson Edwards, he had a great start to that game, but Maryland just kept on trucking. And, you know, Maryland ends up topping the Boilermakers, upsetting the Boilermakers. And Maryland is right now riding a 2-game win streak now with that dub. So with those two scenarios panning out, and also Michigan State handling business in Madison, it now has Michigan State tied with in-state rival Michigan for the top seed in the Big Ten Conference. Both the Wolverines and the Spartans sit at 11-3. And Purdue right behind, you know, a half game behind both of those teams at 10-3 on the year. And then you have Maryland at 10-4. And you know, Michigan now, it's not like it gets easier, right? Well, can it get any easier than playing Penn State? I mean, my goodness, Michigan now will look forward to playing Maryland this Saturday. That will be a noon tip time on Fox. And Maryland, again, 2-game win streak for Maryland. This is not going to be easy for the Wolverines. But you know, it got this discussion started on yesterday's show. You know, what is the view of the Big Ten right now? Because when you look at it, and I just want to just real quick, turn the page to the 2018 real briefly here in the 2018 NCAA tourney. And I think we could all agree that was a down year for the Big Ten Conference, as there were only four teams that actually made the big dance in 2018. Those teams being
Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue, and Ohio State. Now, over the weekend, the NCAA actually released its top 16 seeds. We brought that story to you guys on Monday, and if you don't know about it, well, when it comes to Big Ten teams being represented in the top 16, there were four Big Ten teams represented there as well. Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Purdue. Now, again, that's just the top 16 seeds. Looking at the bigger picture, I think there's right now, if the tournament were to start today, there'll probably be at least, I would say, six teams that have a shot at making the big dance if they continue to trend upward. We'll see if that comes to fruition as the year goes along. But again, I'm honest with you guys. I looking at the Big Ten this year, I'm not convinced that this is the best conference in all of college basketball. Because I'm hearing this left and right. I was listening to ESPN yesterday, and the analysts are still so big on the Big Ten. Of course, you watch the Big Ten Network. They're always, of course, going to tout the Big Ten and be up on the Big Ten left and right. Don't get me wrong. I think there's some great teams out there in the Big Ten. But when you look at the conference as a whole, I think it's a bit overrated. Just looking at the records here, there are, let's count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8 teams right now that have a 500 or worse conference record. Those teams being Ohio State at 6-6 at 500. Then you have Minnesota at 6-8, Illinois at 5-8, Rutgers at 5-9 on the year. Indiana, still can't believe Michigan State lost to Indiana or Illinois. Indiana at 4-9, Nebraska at 4-10, Northwestern at 3-10, and then again, Big Ten bottom feeder Penn State sitting at 2-11. Ohio State, Minnesota, Illinois, Rutgers, Indiana, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Penn State all with a 500 or worse record within the conference. Now, if you want to get more detailed with this, how have Big Ten teams performed against legit competition? Those who have been ranked in the Associated Press Top 25 poll or the USA Today Coaches poll. And real quick, before I do that, the teams who sit above that line, Iowa, Wisconsin, Maryland, Purdue, and, yeah, Michigan and Michigan State. So when you look at the records of Big Ten teams who have, you know, played ranked competition, it's not really that impressive. I mean, other than really Michigan State and Michigan, it's very ho-hum, folks. Michigan State has a record, again, against top 25 teams of 6-1. Michigan has a 5-0 record against AP top 25 teams, a 5-1 record against those ranked in the top 25 of the USA Today coaches poll. After that, I just look at the records, folks. I mean, Purdue 4-5, Maryland 3-3, Wisconsin 3-4, Iowa 4-3, Ohio State 0-3 in the AP, 0-4 in the coaches poll. Minnesota 3-5, Illinois 2-5, Rutgers 1-3, Indiana 2-4, Nebraska 1-5, Northwestern 0-5 and 0-6. And then you have Penn State. Yeah, Penn State 2-6 and 2-5. So I don't know how you can look at those records and you evaluate the conference with that many teams sitting at a 500 or worse record and say, yeah, that's your conference. Or, yeah, the Big Ten is very impressive this year. I just don't see it, folks. Now, what does that say in terms of your Michigan State men's basketball team? I don't think it says much. Other than when you look at those two really bad losses. Purdue is a solid team. I think Purdue, especially at home, you know, Purdue is just a really tough team to beat. Actually, Purdue touts a 12-0 home record. But, you know, when you look at Purdue, Purdue's solid. I like Carson Edwards a lot. But Michigan State, if there's anything to be said about the records I just stated, I mean, the fact that Michigan State did lose to Illinois, and Indiana is still a bit concerning to me. I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but I just still can't get that out of my mind. And now is some of that take dissolved a bit based on what I saw against Wisconsin? I think so. I do believe so. But, you know, as I was chatting with a friend of mine yesterday, I don't know why Minnesota and Wisconsin didn't just use the defensive blueprint that we saw Illinois and Indiana use. You know, double teaming Nick Ward and denying the basketball over top, living with the backdoor cuts. We didn't see that. But that's neither here nor there. When it comes to Michigan State, at the end of the day, at 11-3 overall and a 6-1 record against top 25 competition, ranked competition, that's very, very impressive. Michigan, same thing with Michigan, even though, and that's the thing sometimes in college basketball, you just don't know. You catch a team on a bad night. Michigan has been in a bit of a slump. They have not been playing the type of basketball that we have seen them play earlier this season when we didn't think anybody could really beat Michigan in like the month of December, right? I mean, Michigan looked great, looked fantastic. But as the year goes along, scouting gets better, teams make adjustment, those film sessions become more intense, and Michigan right now is really struggling offensively. Still a great defensive team, but offensively, Michigan, you just don't know what kind of offensive team you're going to get.
The discrepancy between Michigan at the Chrysler Center versus on the road is major as well.
It really is. Right now, they have a 5-3 record on the road. 5-3 at home, they're great. 15-0, they have not lost at the Chrysler Center this season, and that's something to be said as well. Because I mean, that's what the tournament is all about, right? I mean, can you go into neutral territory and pick up a win? You know, you don't have the Izzo near. You don't have, what do they call it, the Maze Rage or something like that? I don't even know what they call
Couldn't
it.
Couldn't tell you. They've only watched basketball for about 2 years in Ann Arbor.
So they're still figuring out the name, huh, Jack? Shots fired there. I like that, Jack. So it's a different atmosphere. The tournament is so different. It's all about matchups, right? But I just think when you look at the Big Ten as a whole, I think, you know, of course, Michigan State, Michigan's going to make it. Purdue's going to make it. Maryland's going to make it. Wisconsin will make it. I think you could probably throw in Iowa as well. Right now, there's six teams right now that I would throw in. Everybody else, you know, again, those teams who are sitting at 500 or worse, I don't know. And we all know this could change as the year comes along. You know, as we're getting right into the home stretch year of the Big Ten season, things could change as well. Then you have the conference tournament, and who knows what will happen there. But I just think that the Big Ten, everybody being high on the Big Ten, I'm just reading what the national pundits are saying. I'm not totally there yet when it comes to the Big Ten. I think right now Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue can legitimately compete with some of your top-tier teams. Some of your top 10 teams out there. I really believe that. Everybody else, granted, Maryland seems to be figuring some things out. You know, Bruno Fernando, he's playing great. But I need to see more of this from Maryland. But I really think right now it's Michigan State, Michigan, and a little bit of Purdue. Because, again, I think Purdue, I don't think it really comes down to Michigan and Michigan State for this Big Ten championship at the end of the day. And then everybody else. So, I don't know. Jack, anything to say in regards to that? When you're looking at the Big Ten this year, are you high on the Big Ten Conference? Do you see, you know, again, taking out Michigan and Michigan State, do you see any other teams out there that you think can make maybe, I won't even say Final Four, maybe in an Elite Eight run? Do you see any teams out there?
Well, no, because the only other team I would lean to would be Purdue based on personnel, and I just don't trust Matt Painter in March. But when you talk about whether the Big Ten's overrated or not, I guess, you know, when you look at the composition of the conference, and I think you're right, there's basically six tournament teams. I think Ohio State and Minnesota are still in the bubble. Ohio State's got a tough schedule the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see what happens with Minnesota. But when you compare them to the other Power Five conferences, you know, I was just combing through the teams right now, and I think the only team that surefire has more than six bids this year would be the ACC. I think they're going to get to seven.
Right.
So No, I don't really think the Big Ten's overrated. I'm not sure there's really a title contender, like a national title contender in the Big Ten, just because I'm not even sure there's a team I view on the same level as Duke. So to me, unless someone knocks out Duke, I just think it's theirs for the taking with the talent they have. You know what I mean?
What about Tennessee?
I just don't know if they have the NBA talent. I mean, they obviously have Grant Williams. They have, I can't think of the other guy's name. What's his name? Lieutenant something? Or I can't think of his name.
I'm not sure.
But whatever. Okay. No, they have a solid starting five, but, you know, just right. The lack of NBA talent, they're kind of similar to Michigan State. I don't like the way they match up against Duke. So, no, for me, you know, do I think Tennessee is definitively better than Michigan State or Michigan? Yeah, probably by a little bit. After them, really nobody other than Duke. But the problem is, you know, I just think Duke's the team this year. And unless they get taken out, I don't see anyone else winning this. So I don't see a national title contender in the Big Ten. But as a whole, I don't think it's a particularly weak conference. I think there are about six solid teams there.
Yeah, well, there are. And that's, I guess it depends on how you're looking at it, right? I mean, are you looking at it from the standpoint of okay, how many teams can make a deep run? How many teams can compete legitimately for a national championship? I guess it depends on that, right?
It was Admiral Schofield, by the way. His first name wasn't Lieutenant. I knew it was something. Yeah, I knew it was something military based.
All right, Schofield. Admiral. He's like he's the senior guard, right? For Tennessee.
He's a wing. Yeah, he's a two or a three.
Yeah,
he's a good player.
He's fun to watch. He is a good player. So yeah, so we'll see. I want to hear from our listeners out there. 517-355-WKAR 517-355-9527. We got some comments coming on our Facebook page. I'll get to those after our first break, and also after our first break, we'll dive into this this really interesting Saginaw Valley State University story, in which the NCAA has found that university in violation of 137 no-nos. I'll explain that and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. As promised, I want to give you guys an update on the first round of the PGA Tour's Genesis Open. Tiger Woods trying to, you know, get his 2019 comeback story in full effect. But I've seen an update here courtesy of ESPN. The first round of the Genesis Open has now been stopped, again, as I noted, due to heavy rains. And the tour is saying that any scores from the round, so those who may have started and got in a hole or two, all of those scores are going to be reset. It's probably the first time I've actually seen this happen. There were actually 23 players that had played at least one hole before the round was suspended. An update from the tour is scheduled for around 4 p.m., the last time a PGA Tour event had to completely restart, so basically, again, even if you began and you maybe got the first or second hole in, you got to now start from scratch. The last time this happened was actually the third round of the Dell Technologies Championship in 2013. So, I don't remember that back in 2013. I don't remember the PGA Tour just basically saying, yeah, that does not count. So, Phil Mickelson, he managed to actually get a hole in before the weather conditions halted play. He carded an eventful par that, again, doesn't happen. So, and we all know Mickelson won. He took the championship last weekend. I forget the name of the event. So Lefty is ready to try and make another run at a tournament win already in the preliminary stages of the 2019 year. And real quick, I don't want to pass this story along to you guys as well, but I'm seeing this from Adam Silver. I had no idea that the NFL was actually trying to go at Adam Silver to get a job in the NFL. He is the NBA commissioner, Silver is, and he says that he has not given any thought to inquiries by NFL owners about his willingness to switch leagues and become commissioner of the National Football League. I think that speaks volumes to just how good of a job Adam Silver has done.
This sounds fantastic.
Isn't that crazy, man? I mean, Adam Silver went to the NFL, again, I'm a big NBA guy, so that would be a huge loss for us. So I'm encouraged that Silver has gone on record to say that he has not given any thought to switching leagues, but that'd be much better for the NFL than Roger Goodell, right, Jack?
Yeah, no, it absolutely, and it speaks to how much Roger Goodell's hated as much as how much Silver's loved.
Exactly. It really does. It really does. And Silver, you know, I was a bit worried when David Stern left, because David Stern, say what you will about David Stern, I think he kind of lost touch when it came to what NBA fans were looking for from the league during his last few years in the NBA. But no one can argue with the job that David Stern did, especially in the 90s, right? When you had Michael Jordan and the Bulls dominating, but you had a lot of characters in the 90s, and really the game became a global game in the 90s. A lot of that credit has to, again, not only go to Jordan, but also David Stern when it came to the marketing campaign and pegging international players to come to the league. David Stern had a lot to do with that. So I was a bit nervous because I didn't know much about Adam Silver, but it's been seamless. And in a few ways, I think Adam Silver has actually elevated the game from where it was when David Stern left it. So, but again, it speaks to the job that Adam Silver is doing when the NFL, you got NFL owners out there, is basically saying, hey, man, you want to come over here and be commissioner? Crazy stuff. Now, Silver, he did not explicitly confirm that he had been approached by the NFL owners, but sources tell ESPN that several owners tried to persuade Silver to run their league. So, crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff. Quite comical, I must add as well. All right, I want to pass this story along to you guys now. I don't know how many people saw this in the paper today because, honestly, it was kind of buried. It really was. I had to do some reading. I think, you know, when I was prepping this morning, you know, I didn't come across this story until about maybe like 25 minutes into my prep. So it's not like I haven't seen it on the front page of any site there. You kind of really have to dig. But if you don't know, a Saginaw Valley State University official said on Monday that the school is confident that 137 violations issued by the NCAA last week and related penalties will not affect the eligibility of its current student athlete body and committed recruits. That is a ton, more than a ton of violations, 137. This is coming from J.J. Boeheim, who is the school's spokesperson. He spoke on this, saying, quote, "We are completely confident in the eligibility of all current student athletes for the 2018-2019 academic year. Also, there are no scholarship reductions and no ban on postseason competition, so current student athletes will not see their scholarships reduced or lose the opportunity to compete for championships." So, looking at, you know, the reporting, and I'm looking here from Eric Lacey's reporting from the Lansing State Journal. It further reads that rosters on SVSU's athletics website indicate there are at least 20 student athletes from the Lansing area who play for the school's teams. There are at least 4 high school seniors from this area who recently committed to play a sport at Saginaw Valley State University. And the NCAA penalized SVSU with 4 years of probation. That's through February 6th of 2023, and also a $5,000 fine. So you know what that tells me, Jack? That tells me that these violations, 137, yeah, a lot of them, that these violations, though, are just petty violations. They're small. They're not in your face, huge, no academic fraud going on. These are violations, you know, maybe not following protocol to report the commitment of a certain recruit, or maybe some paperwork issues or something like that. If you just get 137 violations, if you just get handed down 4 years of probation and a $5,000 fine, that's nothing. That's nothing. So it tells me that this isn't crazy serious here. But it is alarming. That's a lot, but it's not anything crazy serious.
It's the type of stuff a lot of schools are probably getting away with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree with you. Yeah, without a doubt. But it also begs this question. You know, the NCAA, does it, because I think you could go either way with this conversation. Does the NCAA overregulate? And what I mean by that is, you know, these petty violations. And from time to time, we'll hear, you know, you may not get it from any other coach at Michigan State, but what I love about Tom Izzo, he's honest. And Izzo is very transparent. And from time to time, Izzo will talk about, man, you can't do anything nowadays. I got to make sure that I'm constantly meeting with our, and Izzo will say, quote unquote, recruiting guy, you know, with our NCAA guy, to make sure that we're handling business the right way, to making sure that we're filing paperwork and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, also, you know, a word that we hear a lot when it comes to these violations, Jack, is, you know, when certain institutions are found to have broken a rule, you'll hear this a lot. That institution lacked institutional control. You hear that a lot. I mean, heck, when we were going through the Ole Miss football scandal where that program is now forced to vacate 33 wins. You know, that's what you heard in the wordage of the NCAA's, you know, suspension of those wins. Ole Miss lacked institutional control. And I would hear that all the time, but I never really knew what it meant. It's a very broad painting, isn't it, Jack?
Well, at Ole Miss, didn't it mean Hugh Freeze having relationships with prostitutes inside of the football facilities?
That's another thing. I mean, there's so many scandals, right, that have come through. I mean, just it's absolutely crazy stuff. So it's very broad, but it can mean a lot of things. It can mean that, or it can mean that you didn't file your paperwork, and it just piled up over time. So I went to the NCAA's website, actually, and looked up what a lack of institutional control actually means. And there's this whole write-up about it. It's not really clear. It's very, very broad. But in essence, and I'm reading right here from NCAA.org, and it says that the core message, quote, the core message has remained the same. Any athletics program must reflect the ideals of the institution it represents, and it is up to the athletics director to constantly inform the president or the person to whom the athletics director reports, of all relevant developments within the program. As you prepare to pursue a career as an athletics director, you must seriously consider this important responsibility. The president of the institution is ultimately responsible for the integrity of the institution, and that includes compliance with NCAA rules. If you are not comfortable delivering potentially bad news to your boss, that perhaps being an athletics director is not the best career for you. And then it goes on to read, quote, in fact, things will go wrong at times, often in ways that are routine or understandable. That's why the NCAA has a secondary violation process that encourages the athletics leadership of each institution to monitor and report small problems before they become big ones. As far as the NCAA is concerned, that vigilance is regarded as a sign of well-monitored athletics program. A program without secondary violations might be considered one that is willing to sweep problems under the rug. So that's what it directly reads, and that's just a portion. I kid you not. It's a long write-up, Jack. But all that to explain what a lack of institutional control is, it's overregulation to me. I mean, some of these violations are so petty, are so small, that it's like, really? I mean, my goodness, every little thing you got to make sure. I'm pretty sure when you look at the rules on the NCAA website, I'm pretty sure just about every university in America is breaking at least one of those right now. It's crazy. But then you look on the flip side of this and you look at a story like Ole Miss. You look at a story about, you know, at the University of North Carolina, where you have students involved in a made up African-American history class just to make sure that they booster those booster. Yeah, that word is fitting for right now. But to elevate those GPAs, right, to remain eligible, there's the flip side of this as well. And there has to be balance. And that is something that the NCAA has never been able to do, Jack. It's crazy to me.
No, you're exactly right. And I don't see anything changing in that regard anytime soon. I mean, do you remember last year when ESPN went to an MSU game and MSU got a recruiting violation because Dickie V took a picture with one of the recruits?
I do remember
that. That's wild.
How crazy is that, right? It's like, really? You're pushing this thing that far? Or how about Miles Bridges and the dinner, right? The dinner, his mom is sitting down, and it was I don't even know how much it was, but they had dinner paid sitting down with an agent, I believe it was, and that became a big story, and it's just like, come on. It's just so minuscule. It's so petty. So there you have that. I just wanted to bring that story to you guys because I just think that the NCAA just does it wrong in so many different areas. All right, we'll hit our final break. We'll come back, and we have an eventful Throwback Thursday to put a close on this Valentine's Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked. That the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCurry said before.
Oh, boy, I haven't heard that intro in a while because we usually run out of time to do Throwback Thursday, and that's refreshing. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. That intro means that it's time for Throwback Thursday, where we hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. Well, it's Valentine's Day, February 14th, and a lot of events have happened in sports history on this date. I'll rewind the clock all the way back first to 1934, when the NHL held its first All-Star game as a benefit for injured NHL star Ace Bailey. Toronto played against a team of All-Stars from the seven other teams in the league at the time. So if you're holding a game to raise money for Ace Bailey, I'm pretty sure that was a very serious injury. But that's when the first All-Star game began, back in 1934. In 1966, Rick Mount of Lebanon became the first high school male athlete to be pictured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Also on that very same day, Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain of the Philadelphia 76ers at the time, he set an NBA record when he reached a career high of 20,884 points after seven NBA seasons. I mean, some of the stats that Wilt threw up, if you look at NBA history, just ridiculous, right? Also on that same day, so three pretty big events, CBS bought the rights to the NFL's 1966 and 67 championship games for $2 million per game. Big bucks back in the 60s, right? Also, 1977, Al Hill of the Philadelphia Flyers scored 5 points, 2 goals, 3 assists in his first NHL game. In 1988, Bobby Allison became the oldest driver to win NASCAR's Daytona 500. I believe the Daytona, I'm not a big NASCAR guy, but I believe the Daytona 500 is this weekend. Is
that yeah, right? It's this weekend. One of our roommates is a big Daytona guy, so he's pretty excited for it.
You don't sound excited at all.
I mean, I'm going to be out of town for part of this weekend. I don't know if I'll be back in time for the race, but I mean, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, people talk about how a basketball game oftentimes doesn't start until the last 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Why would you watch any NASCAR race or any type of race before, like, the last two laps?
I say the same thing. And then watching a car just continually left turn.
Just go around 500 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Better have a strong drink with you.
Yeah, you better have a strong pop with you, right? A strong soda with you that when you're watching that, man. But yeah, Bobby Allison, oldest driver to win the Daytona 500 in 1989 on this day. Mike Tyson and Robin Givens got divorced. That they were you talk about couples, right? They were a huge entertainment couple back in the day.
I think you pronounced his name wrong.
Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson.
With the list. I forgot the list.
Thank Mike you, Tyson. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Also, in 1990, Mario Lemieux of the Pittsburgh Penguins ended his 46-game scoring streak. The streak was the second longest in NHL history. What is the longest scoring streak in NHL history? Do you know, Jack?
Would have to look it up. My guess is it probably belongs to Wayne Gretzky.
Okay, if we can, well, we got a minute left. If you can, you know, work those typing fingers quick here. I'm shocked you didn't know that though. And also, in 2004, Sean Burke of the Philadelphia Flyers got his 300th win. Burke was the 20th goalie to reach the milestone. So a lot of hockey there, some NASCAR. Mike Tyson makes an appearance. Wilt Stilt Chamberlain, a pretty eventful throwback Thursday today. Who holds that record, Jack? Do you have that?
Yeah, so it looks like it was a 51-game streak, and yeah, it's from Wayne Gretzky. 153 points in that span.
Wow, that's amazing. That's why they call him the great one, right?
Pretty yes, impressive. Sir.
All right. Well, you hear the music. Ah, boy, happy Valentine's Day to you and yours. I really hope it is one filled with, of course, a lot of love. Take care. Make it a great one, folks. We'll be back at it on the Friday edition of Current Sports. Have a fantastic afternoon. And as always, be easy, people.